Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Cold showers. Why? Why? All right. Well, you know what? Let's get the advice from the expert. Richard Sutton, nice to speak to you again. We haven't chatted for way too long. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Very nice and warm. Thank you very, very much. So, Richard, if I want to be one of the cool kids, quite literally, do I have to now start taking cold showers and cold baths? Because everybody who looks good on Instagram is doing this nowadays.
Well, it's certainly become the trend, and it's evolved over the last 5 to 10 years, Wim Hof being the pioneer in this regard. But what's also evolved is the research backing up the fact that there are so many health benefits associated with cold exposure. It's actually just frightening.
Really? You know what, Richard, I'm not even going to be disparaging, because I'll tell you that a couple of years ago on this show, you told me about intermittent fasting. I'd never even heard of it before. And a couple of years later, I got into intermittent fasting, changed my life completely, made me feel better, sleep better, lose weight. So now I've decided that even if you tell me ridiculous things, I'm not going to decide they're ridiculous until proven otherwise. So now tell us about this cold, what's the research behind all of this cold stuff?
So fundamentally, there's three stories. The first story is metabolic, and okay, this is what everyone's kind of jumping onto. And that's the fact that cold exposure increases the activity of a type of fat that we have. It's called brown fat, and it's very metabolically active. It burns a lot of calories, and its primary job is to keep us warm, which is obvious.
Right.
So here we've got this like increased caloric consumption, increased metabolism. It also helps to regulate glucose and insulin sensitivity. So for pre-diabetics or anyone who's struggling in that regard, here's this major regulatory intervention. But it doesn't stop there. It also increases the expression of something called adiponectin, which is produced and released in fat cells. But its primary job is, one, elevate metabolism, and two, is to regulate inflammation. And that brings us to the second story, the immune system. And our grandparents, or certainly my grandparents and my parents, used to say, you know, don't go out, you know, without a jacket, and don't wear your shoes. Get cold, you're going to get sick. And what the science shows us is it's exactly the opposite. In fact, cold exposure is like almost a training camp, a boot camp for the immune system. So it increases white blood cell counts and has antiviral and antibacterial protective properties. And at the same time, conversely, it helps to regulate and reduce inflammation, specifically in the brain. So it protects against a lot of age-related degenerative ailments and diseases and pathologies, and it also protects against things like depression, anxiety, in many respects. And this is kind of the opening chapter of the story. That's the amazing thing.
And what is that? So what does it mean? Like, what qualifies you for all of these benefits? What does one have to do? I imagine that you can't decide this afternoon you're going to get into an ice cold bath for 3 minutes, and then, you know, all four of these things kick in.
Yeah. So I think the reality is that you have to build up and you have to be qualified. It's exactly what you're saying. It's not something you can dive into a pool that's 12 degrees and be okay getting out. I mean, you could go into cold shock and you could actually have a cardiovascular event. So it's something that you have to build up in with. You have to qualify. If you have any health conditions or health ailments, you've got to check with your doctor that it's okay to expose yourself to more extreme temperatures. That's really important. But from a qualification standpoint, fundamentally, most of this is driven by a neurochemical called norepinephrine. At the end of the day, all of these benefits and all of these changes by norepinephrine. And in order to evoke a change in norepinephrine, you've got to get into a cold environment, specifically like water, for a period of around 40 seconds to increase norepinephrine levels by around 200-300%. And that's where all these changes start to take place. Now, the temperature of the water is really important. If you are going to derive benefit, it's the temperature of the water has got to be below, most of the research showing below, if it is water immersion that you're going to expose yourself to, then the temperature has got to be below around 15, 14 degrees. So anything above that doesn't really
benefit you.
All these benefits attached to it. Mm. But there are studies that show that just sleeping in a cold room, 10 hours in a cold room that's around 17, 18 degrees and not a lot of covering, that will increase your metabolism by 10% increase, 10% increase the expression of brown fat by around 40, 42%. So it's not just about being in water, being in a shower that's going to evoke these positive changes. Sometimes cold environments, just being out in the cold with a t-shirt, is enough to evoke positive change. And for those who are not accustomed to cold exposure, my suggestion is just get used to the winter and then start immersing yourself.
So is it nonsense? I mean, going back to what you were saying about put on a jersey, you're going to get sick. Is that really absolute nonsense?
I think there was the big turning point in our understanding. There was a Dutch study that was published a couple of years ago. I think it was 2010. And the Dutch study was looking at people who have cold showers every day. Now, this is cold showers in Holland or in the Netherlands every single day. That's those individuals cold. Who don't. Mm. and their prevalence of colds and flus over a period of time, whether it was 4 weeks or 12 weeks or something along those lines. And what they found, to the researcher's surprise and to my surprise, was those individuals who had the cold showers on a daily basis had a much lower prevalence and incidence of colds and flus. And this is what I was talking to a little bit earlier, is the fact that this is a eustress. It's a kind of short dose of stress, which is basically saying to your immune system, come on, guys, get up and at them. We've got to practice. It's a drill. We might have something very threatening coming in the future. Let's mobilize, let's organize, and then quieten the whole system down. So it's an amazing kind of coaching session, I guess, for the immune system. And especially in this day and age where we are so compromised with COVID and all the other factors in our environments, I think that it could be a really good tool. But duration is very much central.
That's going to be my next question. Yeah.
So whilst 40 seconds of cold exposure, so if you're getting, you know, now as we're going into winter, Johannesburg, Cape Town, and you're getting into a shower and the water's going to be below 10 degrees pretty soon, you're certainly going to evoke the norepinephrine. You're going to feel that's one of the most unpleasant experiences of your life, and you're going to derive the benefit that you are going to derive. But in order to really capitalize on the shifts and the changes that take place, most of the research is supporting around 3 minutes. Wow. So if you're exposed for 3 minutes, up to 20 minutes, that is where the sweet spot is in terms of changes. But the big changes are not from the immune system and not metabolically. The big changes are behaviorally and cognitively. Cold exposure is associated, you know, if for a long period of time, if you're edging towards the 15, 20 minutes, you're looking at about a 500% spike in norepinephrine, and you're looking at improved focus, attention, memory, learning, reduced prevalence of depressions, and some anxiety, less neurosis, less impulsivity, less aggression. It's like, it's the most amazing, amazing set if you've built up over time and you're exposing yourself in the correct manner. But there's always a but. This doesn't all take place immediately. This is the long-term effect.
Right.
In the short term, if you expose yourself to cold, so it was something that I experimented with a couple of years ago as I evolved into my cold practice. Actually, in the winter, I exposed myself to cold daily, and in the summer, 3 times a week. And what I noticed is that after about an hour, an hour after cold exposure, I felt completely foggy. I couldn't remember things. I couldn't focus. I couldn't pay attention. And what the research shows, I think 80 or 90% of the research shows, that there's this short-term decline in cognition mechanism not well understood in response to cold exposure. So if you've got an important meeting and you've got to be clear and lucid and focused and you've got to be paying attention, or you've got a kid and then you've got exams and there's these demands placed on you, to have a cold shower, jump into the cold might not always deliver the result that you're looking for in that hour, but following that hour might.
So that's interesting, because as I was thinking about it, I was thinking a great idea to try it in the morning before my show, but actually you're saying it's not a good idea because they really have to be on the top of my game, the short term. Mm.
it's scale. So in the short term, there's these adaptations which take place. It could be a result of something called a cold shock protein. It's RMB3, but it's not fully understood, and I still haven't got to the bottom of why there's these short-term shifts. But the minute you move past that hour, it is just the most incredible thing. And it's not just this molecule norepinephrine that's helping with focus, attention, memory, and learning, but it's also a tremendous spike in dopamine that takes place, around a 250% spike in dopamine. And dopamine is the molecule of drive and grit and determination and cognition and learning, and very much our cognitive aptitude and our ability to kind of move forward in life. So it's a very powerful tool, but these tools always have to be kind of contextualized. Is it right for me? Is my 100% health in the right place?
And I think that's very important that anybody listening, do not suddenly decide that you can get into an ice cold shower minus 10 degrees for more than 3 minutes, because the result might not be exactly what it is that you are looking for. Make sure that you've got medical that medically you've spoken to somebody, that you are comfortable to do it, and build up, I imagine.
Absolutely. That's what I'm, that's the point. I mean, you've made it so well, in that it's very much based on the individual and individual health and well-being and tolerance and other factors. And it is dangerous. It's not going for any, not for a second believe that this is only health promotion. In some individuals, it can cause a certain degree of strain and stress and shock. And you must be cognizant of this.
But that said, Richard, some of the other points that you've made is, and things that all of us can take on board, is maybe expose yourself to a little bit of cold. Your room doesn't need to be that hot. That the cold, living with a little bit of cold or sleeping in a cooler room than you ordinarily would have been, those things are actually quite good for us.
If absolutely, if you go back to our ancestral environment, to the environment that we fundamentally live, we were placed in for thousands of years, the environment was not air conditioned, and it wasn't a perfect ambient temperature. It was extreme. We didn't have food. Sometimes we did have food. Other times we had lots of food. We had moderate amounts of food. We had lots of variety. We didn't have variety. And the same thing with cold exposure. We're exposed to the cold on an ongoing basis, and somehow, in some way, these extremes are very health promoting. And when I say health promoting, there's a whole another story that even comes up when it comes to cold exposure, in terms of the genetic makeup that facilitates repair and recovery and longevity. And my first real understanding of cold exposure and its benefits was from a Harvard professor who's pretty much at the top of his field from an aging and longevity perspective. And one of his recommendations was frequent cold exposure, whether it's being outside on a nippy day in a t-shirt, or if you're going to have a cold shower, or if you're going to have a cold plunge. Right now, it's the most incredible. If you're into the cold, it's the most incredible time in Johannesburg, because the pools have all kind of moved below 13 degrees. And just, it's cost you nothing. If you have access to a pool, or in a complex with a pool, a friend with a pool, and you just get into the pool for a minute, two, three, four, five, and if you can build up to 15, you're going to be deriving all these benefits and more. This longevity benefits, the improved cognition and memory and focus and attention, and improved immune regulation and lower inflammation, and the list goes on. So it is immeasurably beneficial, but again, one has to be contextual, and there's an individual element to it.
Richard Sutton, absolutely fantastic interview, really, really interesting. Health and performance educator, author of The Stress Code, talking to us about cold showers, cold exposure, and all of the benefits.